141 951 1025. It's time to talk football. It's Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Good evening and welcome to Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Odson Edouard is the Premiership Player of the Month, with Napoli rumoured to be interested in his services. As Rangers get ready to welcome Feyenoord, we'll get the lowdown from a man who played for both sides, and Hearts worries deepen as another striker is ruled out for 3 months. I'm Gordon Duncan. Joining me tonight is Gordon Dalziel and Roger Hanna.
And we always say it's a big week for the Old Firm. Celtic heading out to France tomorrow to take on Rennes on Thursday evening in the first of the Europa League group ties. A couple of hours later, Rangers will kick off against Feyenoord. But the real drama this week, Gordon, seems to be the wrong end of the M8. It's Hearts at Hibs on Sunday, and the losing manager may well be without a job by the time we're in this show next Tuesday night.
Yeah, 5 games in and already managers are under threat for their jobs, but that's just the nature of the beast nowadays, Gordon. But all eyes will be focused on Thursday night for Celtic and Rangers. Celtic away and obviously Rangers at home. Home to get off to good starts in the group stages, and we wish them all the best.
0141 951 1025, that is the number you need tonight. If you would rather tweet, you can get us at Clyde SSB. And don't forget, a bit later on in this hour, just before 7 o'clock, we're going to be joined in this studio by 7-time Grand Slam winner Jamie Murray. He's promoting a tennis tournament along the road, and we know he likes his football, Roger. I'm sure we'll welcome him to the madhouse and see what he's got to say for himself.
7 Grand Slam titles, more doubles championships than you care to remember, a Davis Cup victory, but he's never won beat the pundit, Gordon.
This is true. This is very true. Roger, a big week on the football front, because we are now going to... We've had a flavour of it with the qualifying rounds, but now for Celtic and Rangers, it's about how do they juggle domestic football and European football, because everyone knows Celtic are going for 9, Rangers are trying to stop it. So that's massive. Every single week is massive. Now with the added I was going to say complication, I don't know if that's the right word.
It's a good complication.
But they have to fight on both fronts for the next couple of months.
How
certainly
do they juggle it? Well, they've had a bit of experience. Rangers had experience last year, Celtic for the last few seasons, of marrying together the midweek demands of Europe and the weekend demands of the Premiership. You would think in this of all seasons, the two teams would focus all of their attention on domestic action. Celtic chasing 9 in a row, Rangers desperate to stop them having 9 in a row. But you listen to the chant from some of the players in a week like this. Bolly Bolingoli spoke at the weekend about Celtic having the ability to get to the last 4 of the Europa League. Christopher Julian speaking this morning that they're in it to win it. Andy Halliday speaking at the start of the week as well about Rangers should show no fear against Feyenoord, that it's a Champions League group in all but name, if you like, with Porto and Feyenoord. So quite clearly, the players, and I suspect the management as well, will want to focus for this week on Europe.
Yeah, they want to get off to a good start, Gordon, because obviously winning breeds confidence. But I think all the concentration this season's got to be the league title. You know, they've got big squads. I think that'll be a big factor. They will be used to the limits. And, you know, I just think that you're looking at the group. It's a very difficult group, both Rangers and Celtic have got. But I think the most important thing for these two teams this season is the league title.
0141 951 1025. Let's hear from you. Get your calls in nice and early. And if you would rather tweet, we are at Clyde SSB. Let's kick off with Odson Edouard. He is the Premiership Player of the Month for August. I know it's the 17th of September, but that's the August award just been given out. It goes to Odson Edouard. Newspaper reports this morning linking him with a big money move to Napoli. Now, speaking after he picked up the award today through a translator, it must be said, he says at the moment he's only got one thing, one club on his mind.
I actually didn't know about this, and it doesn't really matter. I'm, you know, at the moment I'm a Celtic player, I've got a season to play, I've got a long contract, I'm really happy with, you know, the way I'm playing, the setup here. I'm really happy to play with my friends for the team. So, you know, the main thing at the moment is I'm a Celtic player, happy to be a Celtic player. I've got still a lot to prove within Celtic as part of a Celtic team. And as I said before, you know, there's this season, there's a long season ahead of us. We need to concentrate on that. And that's the key. The key is I've got to prove myself here first.
So, Celtic fans, what did you make of that story this morning when you saw your star striker, Odson Edouard, linked with a big money move to Napoli? What do you make of those reports, and what do you make of him at the moment, his level of progress, Roger?
Well, for me, it's more of a story if Napoli weren't watching Odson Edouard at the minute. He's shown for Celtic, he's shown for the French under 21 team. Napoli recently said Fernando Llorente, who had been a free agent since leaving Spurs at the end of the season, so that would indicate they're needing reinforcements in the attacking departments. But Napoli won't be alone. I think Borussia Dortmund had been linked with Odson before that. Teams back in France have been linked with him too. He is an outstanding talent. We've said it in the show in the last couple of weeks. Another hugely impressive performance in the Old Firm win at Ibrox. Two impressive performances for the French under 21 team during the international break. His reputation is just growing and growing and growing. He said he's staying at Celtic. Celtic hold all the cards. They've got him in a long-term contract. He's treated well. He's paid well at Celtic. He knows he's a young man building a reputation. And when the day and hour comes for Odson Edouard to leave Celtic, Celtic will, you know, they'll try and maximise the money, and Odson himself will try and select the correct club for his career progress.
I like the way he went about his business here in the interview, Gordon. I think he said all the right things. I think Celtic fans will be delighted to hear what he had to say. But one day, and I'm not saying just now, but one day the lad's going to go for big money. He's got everything in his locker. He's got to be a top, top striker. He's getting better season by season. And, you know, other clubs with big, big money will be sitting there waiting to pounce. But Celtic will be desperate to hold on to them. And as Roger quite rightly said, at this moment, they've got all the cards. And just listening to a lad, he's desperate to stay with Celtic for more success.
And this is what Celtic should be doing. We're just looking at the first of the Champions League games is kicked off there at 6 o'clock or 5 to 6. Moussa Dembele leading the line for Lyon against Zenit St. Petersburg. No one at Celtic talks about Moussa Dembele anymore because of the progress Odson Edouard has made. And then the real next thing for Celtic will be to line up the guy, to discover the guy who's going to replace Odson Edouard a season or two or three down the line.
Well, there's the question then for you Celtic fans to kick us off. Where is Odson Edouard on the Moussa Dembele path? How does he compare to Moussa Dembele perhaps at this stage during his Celtic career? Can he go on to surpass the achievements of Moussa Dembele? Can he go on to be better? Does he still have a long way to go? Why don't you tell us right now? 01419511025. Odson Edouard is the player of the month for August in the Premiership. Where is he in comparison to Moussa Dembele? Tell us right now. Roger, your take?
Well, I said a couple of weeks ago after the Old Firm game, I think Edouard will become a better player than Dembele. I think in terms of linking play, in terms of his technical ability, I think he's superior to Moussa Dembele. You might find Dembele will score more goals for you. He's a different type of striker. He'll, in like an old fashioned style, he'll lead the line more than Odson Edouard. But you see the way Edouard drops into holes. Daz discusses it when he's covering Celtic games for Super Scoreboard. The way he finds pockets of space, the way he draws central defenders out of position in the areas of the pitch they're not comfortable with, that allows the Forests and the Christies and the Johnsons to run in behind and score goals. So he might not get as many goals as Dembele himself, but I think his assists and the work he does round the park will make him in the long run a better player than Dembele.
I struggled to separate the two of them, Gordon. I think the two of them are fantastic talents. Obviously Dembele's left Celtic and you know, scoring goals, playing very, very well indeed. Edouard's a young lad that's come in. And as I said, I've watched Celtic over the last few seasons, and I just think he's getting better and better and better. And that's why, by playing more games, getting more confidence, scoring goals, he's adding things to his game as well. And that's why he will go for big money.
What do you think though? 01419511025. That's Roger and Gordon's take. Where is Odson Edouard in comparison to Moussa Dembele? Because there are obvious similarities. Both French, both been brought into the club with a view to eventually, you would imagine, moving them on for big money. That doesn't have to mean that it happens soon. But how do you compare the two at this stage in Odson Edouard's career? 01419511025. We're already getting tweets in on the matter. JR says that Edouard is better all round. He's less injury prone. Dembele has been spoken about constantly by Celtic fans because we realise how well he's doing for Lyon. So yeah, I mean, you can. There are obvious similarities, Roger. We'll never be able to escape them.
Yeah, listen, because of their backgrounds as well, you know, both French strikers, both excelled in the under 21 team, both came to Celtic as younger men to build their reputation. Moussa deservedly got his move, and Celtic got an awful lot of money for Moussa Dembele when he made that move. I know it's on, I think he's just, you know, a little bit younger. He'll go on, he'll make his move, he'll, wherever he goes next, again, Celtic will make a lot of money, and Celtic will hope to fall back on the model that by the time Oddson goes, they have a ready-made replacement to come in up front.
I think what you're seeing is Celtic fans are probably saying Eduardo now, because they're watching him week in, week out, Roger. Dembele is obviously over in France. I think his big next move will be the English Premier League.
Dembele?
Yeah, Dembele. I think
he has been linked to Manchester United.
Yeah, and I think that will be his big move. But this lad, they're now playing in our league, I just think he's a joy to watch. I think he's got everything in his locker. He'd be a top striker.
Do you think Edward's next move could be the English Premier League? When you think of the manager who signed him for Celtic, you look where he is now.
Oh, now you're troublemaking.
You look at the fact that Jamie Vardy at 30-something can't possibly go on forever. Could it be a case that maybe Brendan Rodgers could come back for Hudson Edward one day?
Well, the big argument was when they paid the money for him, everybody saying, well, is he worth that? Brendan Rodgers says, yeah, he's definitely worth that. So, yeah, I understand where you're coming from that one.
Let's speak to Paul in Bayliston. Hi, Paul.
Hi, Gordon.
Hi, Paul, how are you doing?
All right. Hi, Paro, as well.
Hi, Paul.
What it was to do with a comparison to Dembele and Edward. Mm-hmm. Like, I think when Edward first arrived at Celtic, I didn't think he was going to be the player that we got him for, money-wise. But see, recently, I think he is definitely going to be a better player than Dembele, because Dembele sometimes is quite moody. And lazy, like burning out again. Whereas, as you were talking about before a call, Edwards, like, he's really good at holding the ball up, and he brings a lot of other players into the game, which gives us more chances of scoring goals, obviously. And I think that the more he's playing, the more confidence he's getting, and the better he's going to get, as you, Gordon and Roger,
yeah. I mean, I think Paul's right, Roger, and also perhaps in the way that they are both viewed within Celtic. Do you remember there was a time when there was a real Dembele or Griffiths debate, and then eventually Dembele sort of pulled ahead, and that debate didn't exist anymore. Same thing's happened now.
Yeah.
Last season, how many nights did we spend on the show? Or certainly at the start of last season, Edward or Griffiths, but now Edward has really made the position his own, and we don't tend to have those debates anymore. The debate
now is Bayo or Griffiths for the last 10 minutes to give Edward a rest, as they did at Hamilton at the weekend. Edward is without doubt the number one striker at Celtic. He's probably one of the first names in Neil Lennon's team sheet. When he goes to Rennes on Thursday night, he will look at Edward as being a guy who can get a goal, a guy who can lead the line, a guy who can bring others into it. Celtic won't have the same amount of possession that they do in a normal Premiership game when they go to Rennes at the weekend. But they'll look to the likes of Forrest, to the likes of Edward in particular, to carry a threat when they do have the ball on the break. But I mean, you look at the Edward Dembele argument, neither of them have scored in the English Premier League, so surely Timo Pukki's better than them all.
I think we'll leave that one. I think for another day.
But I think he's playing absolutely brilliant. Get him back up to Scotland. I think that was someone else that was brought in the Celtic.
Paul, the stories this morning linking Oddson Edward with Napoli, does that worry you? Do you think you can keep him for a long time, or is it a matter of time before big clubs come calling? Oh, he's gone. He's disappeared. Phone's broken up. There we go. There's a tweet actually on that from David Campbell. He says, "I'm sure this won't be read out as it doesn't suit the point of the story." Well, you're wrong to begin with, David, so let's see if the next point is any better. But the Edward away is planted by agents and the Scottish press push of selling on Celtic players.
Well, I can speak about this freely because it wasn't my newspaper that had this story this morning, Gordon. I'm never sure why supporters are concerned by stories linking their players to £30 million moves. Surely that shows the player is doing extremely well for the club. And Celtic fans in particular shouldn't be concerned, because if you look at the business Celtic have done with a lot of lads of the same profile as Edward over the years, they bring them in, I was going to say in the cheap, I don't think £9 or £10 million pounds is necessarily the cheap for Edward, but what they do is they bring them in for a certain sum of money, they develop them at the club and sell them for a whole heap more money. That will happen with Edward sooner or later. I think in the tweeters' hope it'll be later. But that is what happens. And fans shouldn't worry if their players are getting linked with big money moves. It means they're doing well for Celtic or whatever other club.
Paul and Bayliston is back. Paul, I was just asking about your confidence of how long you can keep odds on Edward for.
Hi, Gordon. I don't think we'll be able to keep him for... We'll get him at least for another season anyway. But I think after that, the vultures will be in looking to get him. Because he is a really good player, as I said. He's getting more confidence the more he plays. And he's scoring big games as well, which is really good for us. And the small thing that annoys me is... I love Lee Griffiths. And I just think it's going to be really hard for him to get back in the team with Odson Edwards in there.
Yeah, I suppose, Gordon, Paul just mentioned they're scoring big goals. How important might this Europa League campaign be for him? Because that's something that Dembele did do. For all there were maybe the odd Premiership game where he sort of flitted in and out and maybe didn't look to his best. Scored against Man City, scored against PSG, and these are the games that get you noticed ultimately.
Yeah, that's the stage where everyone sits up and takes notice of you, Gordon, if you're banging in the goals. I think nowadays in the modern day game, you know, there's more to a striker than just scoring goals. Everyone wants to get a goal scorer that scores 30 goals, 29 goals, 28 goals, whatever it is a season, scores in Europe. But it's all about linking up, playing out. It's been a team player. And I think that Edward's slowly learning that role now. Because as I say, I've watched him this season, and the positions he's now taking up, and he's linking play with his midfield, he's learned so much to his game. He's added so much to his game, Gordon. And that's why I think he'll score goals, he's improving, and he will get a big move. But I don't think it'll be just now.
Gary and Kilsyth, what do you think?
Hi there, hi panel, all right?
Hi, Gary.
Just watching, obviously, Edward at the moment. I think Edward's come on to a game because the way Ryan Christie's improved as a player, because watching Celtic since the way Ryan Christie's improved, Ryan Christie, the way he links the play with Edward, I think, as a pair, since the end of last season, I'd say they've been together as a pair, they've been absolutely brilliant because of Christie's energy, the way he gets the ball into his feet, and I think that's also helping Edward, because before, watching last season, sometimes Edward would, when he'd lost the ball, he looked quite lazy and lethargic at times, in my opinion, and it didn't look as if he tried enough. But whereas now, with Ryan Christie, his energy, like, he brings a lift to the full team, and I think it brings a lift to Edward because you know, he's just got players around him that can feed him the ball and get him in behind as well with his hold-up play.
All right then, Gary. So as good as the likes of Tom Rogic is individually, you feel like that Christie brings more out in Edward than perhaps the other options in that position do?
In my opinion, I think it's going to be really hard to get Ryan Christie out of the team unless he gets injured or he goes has a nuke, which I can't see happening. I think Tom Rogic will struggle to get back in the team, whereas previous years, obviously, Tom Rogic was one of our best players, whereas now, I think Celtic without Ryan Christie in the team are such a weak side.
There was a spell last season, Gary, if you remember, when Scott Brown was out the team before Christmas, where the midfield three was Christie, Rogic and McGregor. And it was arguably Celtic's best spell of the season in terms of creative play. McGregor sat a wee bit deeper where Brown normally would, and Christie and Rogic together, you know, created chances, they were dangerous, they threatened teams. And I think with all these games coming up, you know, look at Celtic, they've got Europa League this week, Premiership at the weekend, League Cup next week, then Premiership, then Europa League. I think there'll be a degree of rotation. I think Tom Rogic will get minutes on the pitch because I think there'll be times when Christie comes out, McGregor comes out. I think there'll be times when Scott Brown comes out as well, and you might see those four players rotating in the three positions in there.
The Ballingolly Buddha is on Twitter. He says, where is French Eddie in comparison to Dembele? Edward's in Scotland, Dembele's in France.
Well, truth.
I think we'll leave that one there. Thank you very much to Gary in Kilsyth. It's 01419511025. Rangers take on Feyenoord in the Europa League. And where better to look for the down low on this fixture than to speak to a man who played for both? We'll speak to him next.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard with Thompson's Personal Injury Solicitors. The form team for compensation for more than 40 years. Talk to Thompsons.com.
Roger Hanna and Gordon Diehl here with me, Gordon Duncan, on tonight's Clyde One Super Scoreboard. We've been speaking about Oddson Edouard. He's on the Premiership Player of the Month this month. Lauren is on Twitter saying thinks Edouard starting to show signs of being able to play the Firmino type role. Good work rate, brings players into games, pulls defenders out of position, lets the wide players in to score. Would be great in a front three if we can hold on to him for a while, says Lauren. Gary, similar. Edouard has all round to his game more than Dembele, brings other players in, which allows Christie, Forrest and so on. So there we go. 01419511025. That's the number you Rangers fans might want to dial right now to look ahead to Rangers against Feyenoord. I'm sure Roger Hanna has got a lot to say on the subject, and Gordon Diehl has got a lot to say, but we're better to go for the expert opinion on the fixture than to a man who played for both clubs. I'm pleased to say we're joined on the phone line by Thomas Buffel. Thomas, how are you tonight?
Hello, good evening. Fine, thank you.
Good stuff. Thank you very much for joining us tonight. Thomas, looking ahead to a big game between your former side. You, of course, signed for Rangers from Feyenoord in 2005. Does that mean you've got split loyalties on Thursday, or are you able to pick a winner?
Yeah, it's a difficult question indeed. We're two great teams where I played and where I was successful, so it will be difficult to choose one of both. They have a lot of tradition both, so yeah, it was an honour to play for both of them.
You are coming over to the game, I understand, though, yes?
Yes, correct.
Well, I take it if you're sitting in the Rangers end, you might want to pretend that you're supporting them on Thursday.
Yeah, that's true. I'm going to sit in the Rangers main stand. So, it's difficult to sit with the top of Feyenoord there, I think.
How well do you manage to keep up with the fortunes of Rangers and your former teams, Thomas? Do you manage to keep an eye on what's going on?
Yeah, well, it's not so easy to follow. But now and then I check the score sheets and the standings in the league. So obviously Rangers is back now since a couple of years at the highest league, and that's good for the supporters and the players. It's been a difficult time, and Feyenoord as well. They have ups and downs.
How do you look back on your European memories at Ibrox, Thomas? It should be a special occasion at Ibrox. What are your sort of favourite memories of playing in those European occasions?
Well, what was fantastic was the build up towards the games and the press and supporters around, and the atmosphere then before the game. A lot of supporters travelling to that game in away games, but as well at Ibrox, so the stadium was already full before the warming up, and the noise and the sound and the smell of the stadium was very, yeah, very nice, and to achieve that there. Yeah.
Are there any games in particular that stand out for you as being fond memories?
Well, I played in the UEFA Cup, but as well in the Champions League, and obviously, okay, the Champions League is still one league higher. So I remember the home game against Inter Milan that we managed to get to qualify for the last 16. I thought it was so was unique as well in the club history, and that was a nice memory. When I as well gave an assist with a through ball for Peter Lovenkrantz, so the atmosphere was great and never to forget.
Thomas, it's Roger Hanna here. We know it's a big game on Thursday night, but all our listeners have only got one question for you. Alec Ray is on this show with us every week. He came back in the summer with a story that he'd scored from the halfway line in your testimonial game in Genk. Surely this cannot be true.
Yeah, it was true. He had a nice shot from the halfway line, and obviously the goalkeeper was not so flexible anymore. But still, it was a great shot.
Back to Thursday night's game, Thomas. Calling on your own experiences, how different is it? How difficult is it to cope with the different styles that European competition brings? Because you play every week and face Scottish opposition. When the likes of Feyenoord come up against Rangers, how different is the challenge?
Well, obviously the players are used to the tactics and the sort of football in their own league, and Yeah, in Holland they try to build up a little bit more, I think, and okay, the big teams in Scotland try the same, but sometimes they have opponents who make it more tough to build up, and you have more a little bit kick and rush, if I have to say, if you play in the small stadiums. Yeah, it's for Feyenoord as well. Yeah, question mark sometimes to come and play in Rangers. Obviously, with all the material now these days with analysts and video material, it's more easy to scout a team and prepare your players for what's coming. So, I can imagine with Steven Gerrard, a new coach now, he like as well to have a good build up and play some football. So, I'm very curious as well what I'm going to see from the both teams on Thursday.
It's a difficult group. Feyenoord, Porto are there, Young Boys of Bern are there as well. If Rangers are to advance, Thomas, how important is your former teammate Alan McGregor going to be? I know he was in the squad when you were there. He's still there, you know, 37, 38 years of age, but his experience will be vital, yes?
Yeah, of course, he was there as well, and experience is always an advantage if you can teach the young players the motivation, but as well to be calm before such a game and speak with the players that they just have to do the same as they are used to in the league games and they should be fine. So most players already played in the league and they have to play for the same amount of supporters, so they should already be used to a kind of atmosphere.
At the other end of the pitch, Rangers will be relying on the likes of Alfredo Morelos to get the goals that make the difference. Thomas, thinking back to your Rangers career, who were the guys at the top end of the pitch that you relied on in the big occasion? Who was always likely to come up with the goods?
Well, we had one campaign with Dado Perso. He was very strong and powerful. Then we had the speed of Lovenkrantz, especially in European games. They sometimes took him from the wing and put him more central to use his speed, as well as the game against Inter Milan. We had as well Chris Boyd, who was always good for some goals too. So it was all good players, and we had Wien Nacho as well with his speed. So different type of players, and it's good that you can change during the game what's necessary.
Thomas, thank you very much for joining us. Enjoy the game on Thursday.
Thank you very much. Good
thank
evening.
Thank you. That was Thomas Biffle looking back on some memories there for Rangers and looking ahead to a game between his two former clubs. Can Rangers win this one, Gordon? How important, should I say, is this in terms of if they want to succeed in the group? Generally, the home games are vital, aren't they?
Massive, Gordon. There'll be a full house once again, under a floodlights, good atmosphere at Ibrox. I think that Rangers have got a great opportunity. They've got to, they created a few chances against Livingston, but Livingston sat in and made it very difficult for them and at the weekend there, get everyone behind the ball, very well disciplined. You'd imagine Feyenoord will be exact same, but they'll have a bit more quality, obviously, than what Livingston's got to hurt you at the other end, so they've got to be careful. But I just think that home advantage, if they're going to really be serious in this group, then they've got to win their home games, and I think they can go off to a good start on Thursday night.
Charlie's a Rangers fan on the line. Are you confident ahead of Thursday, Charlie?
No.
Oh, doom and gloom.
Well, just be positive. The facts just give you the facts. The thing is, Rangers have staggered the line since the start of the season, right? We scored 6 goals against Hibs and they probably won a game, right? We played rubbish against Celtic. We played rubbish against that team on the other day, or Saturday.
Livingston, aye.
They were touching goal. They nearly beat us, when you think about it. Rangers, I mean, we're in for a major wake-up call the morning, Thursday night, as far as I'm concerned. I hope I'm wrong, but I don't really know. I think for the worst. Another wee point is, I keep seeing Andy Hallandy still playing for Rangers. What's Andy Hallandy still playing for Rangers for? I mean, he's been there since way back in 2016, and I don't know how he still gets a game on the park. He's no, as far as I'm concerned, he's no Rangers class. I mean, he's got a crowd and all that shout for him and all that, but I just think he's, I mean, he's a player he can bring on for 20 minutes, 25 minutes, but it just doesn't seem right to me that he's still there.
You know? Okay, two separate points, Charlie. Let's deal with them individually. Gordon, you go for the Andy Halliday one first.
I think Andy Halliday's a good squad player, Gordon. He's not number one choice at left back, and obviously that's not his natural position. But the one thing that I think the Rangers fans like about Halliday is he goes in there and it's years gone by, he plays for a jersey. He plays with his heart and soul. You know, I watched him on Saturday. I don't think against teams like Livingston's, Kilmarnock's and, you know, St Johnston's and teams like that, he'll get away with it because I think he's good enough to play, especially at Ibrox when Rangers have most of the possession. But he's not the number one choice, but I think Steven Gerrard likes him about the place because his attitude, his passion and everything about him, and I think he's a good squad player to have.
Charlie's initial point was about Rangers' chances on Thursday, Roger. When you look at Feyenoord's form, they won 3-2 at the weekend. They're now on a run of four consecutive wins. They knocked out Beersheva to get to this stage of the Europa League. So I know there were some concerns about them early on in the campaign, but they look like they're starting to find their feet.
Yeah, listen, they'll be decent. Sometimes I think our teams, when they go into Europe, they should play the game, not the name, if you know what I mean. Feyenoord, a terrific name in European football. I don't think they're the team they once were. They've got some names, guys who have played in the English Premier League. A couple of them scored at the weekend, Luciano Narsing, I think, and Leroy Fair got the winner against Den Haag. But they did lose two goals at home to Den Haag at the weekend, so they're not some impenetrable force. And if Rangers have any ambitions to get out this group and get to the last 32 knockout stage, they're going to have to win their games at Ibrox starting on Thursday night. Andy Halliday, whatever we think of him as a player, I thought spoke well after the game at the weekend. He was saying there's nothing to be worried about. Don't go into this game with any fear. You know, the games at Ibrox, Rangers tend to do well at Ibrox, tend to score goals at Ibrox. They did well in the European games during the qualifiers at Ibrox. So go into the game with no fear and go into the game trying to win the game rather than have any sort of worries about Feyenoord.
Charlie, you have cited performances against Livingston and performances against St Mirren as evidence that Rangers can't win this game. But what about the European performances that got you there? Legia Warsaw came to Ibrox, Alfredo Morelos pops up with the goal. You've got a pretty good record in qualifying to get to this stage, so surely that gives you some sort of confidence.
Well, was that the games, but we never set the hair on the fire in any of the games.
They won the games, though.
We got that goal in the last bit of injury time. I mean, that was touch and go. We could have got knocked out of that.
Yeah, but you didn't. I mean? That's the point, surely.
But the thing is, as I say, I was going to say luck. You've got your luck in football and all. And he scored the goal, but that could have went the other way, no bother. And I'll just, I mean, when I was at the Celtic game there, I was watching Celtic, and I mean, I don't like to say it, but Celtic are class. Yeah, I don't even sound like a Rangers supporter, but they are. I mean, the guys have got at the back and that. And you could see that the class is coming out of Celtic. I mean, you were watching Rangers, it wasn't the same. You know, and we beat them last season, right? We beat them last season, and we didn't need to beat them, right? I don't even think Celtic are trying there, to tell you the truth.
Well, you needed to beat them in the new year fixture, surely. But anyway, our time is against us, Charlie, so we'll leave it there. Thank you very much for the call. 01419511025. Travel with Amber. Then we're going to be joined in the studio by Jamie Murray, one of Scotland's most successful sportsmen, joining former badminton champion Gordon DL as well. We'll speak to him next.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard with Thompson's Personal Injury Solicitors. Getting you full compensation is their goal. Talk to Thompson's.com.
Gordon DL and Roger Hanna still here with me, Gordon Duncan, on tonight's Clyde One Super Scoreboard. You can get in touch on the phones as normal, or if you would rather tweet, then you will find us at Clyde SSB. Now listen, I need to be honest. It's not that we don't love hearing about Gordon DL's Raith Rovers goal scoring exploits or his young fledging badminton career. But we are joined by 7-time Grand Slam winner, fresh from recent US Open success, Jamie Murray, and he's even kicked Gordon Dalziel off of his mic position to take pride of place in the corner. Jamie, how are you?
Good, thanks. Yeah, I remember primary school collecting all the Panini stickers used to collect it.
I'll sign it for you later on.
He looks a bit different with the silver hair now though, doesn't he?
That's true, yeah.
He's looking starstruck when he might come in.
He's looking a bit, and you're okay now that you've been moved, Mike. You're alright, you're over it, yeah?
For this man, no problem at all.
Alright, good. Now Jamie, the reason that you're here, we know you like your football, and we will drag you down to our mad world of football chat a bit later on.
Hibs was off the menu tonight.
Absolutely not, I'm sorry. You're not escaping, no matter how bad they are, you're not getting away from it. But you're here in town, you're just along the road actually, in Scotstoun, because of the Murray Trophy. Now this is an international indoor tennis event that's running this week, for those who don't know, building up to the finals at the weekend. Tell us a bit about it, the purpose of it and how it's been going.
Yeah, so the event started on Monday, goes through to Sunday. I play my first round match tomorrow evening around 6:30. Still a few tickets left actually, if there's people listening that want to come and watch. Reason that kind of was working with the LTA to put on this event was because there's no other live tennis events in Scotland. We've obviously been fortunate to have some amazing Davis Cup ties in the past, but you know they're kind of few and far between. So I tried to make this an annual event. There's obviously a lot of appetite in Scotland, I think, for tennis. It's been some good crowds the first couple of days. So yeah, I really hope the event goes well.
We talk a lot on this show about grassroots football and in grassroots sport, and ultimately that this is where the worlds collide here. How important is it that we or the authorities do more to capitalise on the success that you and your brother have had?
Well, I mean I think it's hugely important. I mean, it's kind of once in a generation opportunity, I think, to kind of capitalise on I guess the sort of success that me and Andy have had, or at least the interest that we've created in the sport. And I think that there's been kind of positive discussions about that, and things kind of hopefully start to change. But I guess it takes time. But I guess it would have been nicer if it happened a few years before.
Yeah, I suppose. Listen, we'll get back to that, and we will look a bit more in depth at what's going on this weekend. On Beat the Pundit, actually, we've got a fantastic prize for you to win very soon, so stay tuned for that. But Jamie, here's the deal. When we get footballers in this studio, we put them through a series of quick fire questions, a getting to know you type exercise.
Okay.
And you're going to be subjected to it. So this one's going to be a bit of a mix between football and tennis.
Okay.
So we'll give it a go and we'll see how we get on. Does that sound okay?
Alright.
Right, first one. First football game you went to?
No idea, but I remember going to watch Hibs against Airdrie and always losing to Airdrie. Remember that? That was never a fun afternoon out. But.
So you've tried to forget about it. I think that's maybe why.
Yeah.
Right. Okay. Fair enough. Did you have a footballing hero growing up, or a favourite player? Not Gordon Dalziel from the sticker book.
My favourite player at Hibs maybe was like Keith Wright, Mickey Weir. Joe Tortolano, those guys.
Roger's nodding along. Are they good choices?
Yeah, oh, very much so, yeah.
Random choices.
Oh, Keith Wright was a good goal scorer for Hibs in the day.
Yeah, good player, Keith.
We got our photo taken with him at like Hibs
yes,
Open
I've
Day when
we
were probably
times.
I don't know, we were like probably like 5 years old.
Is that still got pride of place somewhere?
I think so, yeah. My mum will have that for sure. Sat next to him at the Scottish Cup final when Hibs lost to Celtic, maybe like 3-0, when Henrik Larsson scored some great goals.
Is another one he's tried to forget about. We'll maybe get some of the good memories come out. I think this one's definitely, we're back on to the tennis here. We ask with the footballers this, we say, who's the best player you've played with? You're going to have to say your brother. Is that how this works?
I guess so, yeah. I guess so. I played against Nadal before. Never played against Federer. Played against Djokovic before. Yeah, I've been fortunate to play against a lot of the great guys. But yeah, Federer would be one that's missing on my resume or whatever.
Who would you, if you had to go for one, Djokovic or Nadal, who's tougher to play against?
What, in like a death match or something? I always back Rafa. Yeah.
Why is that?
He's left-handed as well, like me, and okay. Same age. We kind of grew up together, so yeah, a bit of loyalty there.
Fair enough. The best, we always ask the footballer, the best stadium you've played at, so same to you, what would be the best Grand Slam venue?
Centre Court, Wimbledon, playing Arthur Ashe Stadium in New York. I think it's the biggest tennis stadium in the world. But Wimbledon, I guess, just for the kind of tradition and history and everything, it's pretty unique place to play.
Okay. Career high, one moment. You have to choose one. You've got so much success to choose from, so it makes it difficult. But if you had to pick one,
I think, I mean, getting to number one in the world in the doubles rankings was really special. I guess, like, kind of combination of like life's work, I guess. But if I think about one particular match, I played probably the Davis Cup match against Australia in the semi-finals of the Davis Cup at the Emirates, when me and Andy won in five sets against Leighton Hewitt and Sam Groth, and we kind of knew that if we could get through that match, we'd probably get through to the final and have a chance to win. So that's probably like my most memorable match, I would have thought.
When we ask footballers this one, it gets all sorts of, some of them just blank and say no, not interested, and others come out with ridiculous pre-match superstitions. Do you have any?
Not really pre-match superstitions. I quite like to use the same shower through the week, so even if like I go to the shower and someone's okay in that shower,
I'll just wait.
Even if there's, you know, five or six free, I'll just wait for them. Yeah.
Right, and how does that go down in the locker room? Do you get some suspicious glances?
No, I don't think people are aware. But there's like my former partner Bruno Suarez. He did the same thing, and sometimes like we would end up with the same shower. So there'd be like two man queue to get in.
ever done like that at Starks Park Garden?
No, but I'm just a vision in my mind. Jamie Murray stand behind you waiting in the show.
Enough about that. I think. What are your hobbies away from tennis?
Like playing golf and follow football, I guess.
Any good at golf? Gordon DL gave me a bit of a lesson today, it must be said. So.
I mean, decent. Like, I play off 10. I used to be a lot better when I was
very
younger.
Decent.
So.
All right, this is where we verge away from sport a little bit. You got a favourite film?
Nah, it's too many films to choose.
Too
one,
many.
I think,
okay,
yeah.
Fair enough. What about the old box sets? What's the tip? What's in Jamie Murray's Netflix right now that we should be watching?
I find a series called Catastrophe, which is really funny. I think it's been out for a few years.
That's one.
Yeah,
okay.
I came across that.
Gordon
good,
Dale
yeah.
looks confused, but he's going to write that down because I know you've got a lot of spare time on
that. Line of duty. That's decent.
Oh, you're a big fan.
Yeah,
of that,
I'm a big fan.
Right, okay, back to sport. You'll be pleased to know. Following football when you're on tour, how tough is it? How do you manage it?
Easy.
Do you manage to keep up?
Easy, yeah. Yeah. Well, as long as you've got Wi-Fi, you're good. Yeah.
Okay.
Some dodgy live streaming, trying to follow Hibs or Premier League or whatever. Yeah, I mean, we're into fantasy football as well, so keeps you interested in a lot of games that you probably wouldn't normally have interest in because you got players from those clubs all of a sudden.
So. I was reading a story today about when you were, well, when Hibs won the Scottish Cup, but you were preparing for the French Open. So how did you manage to keep up? How did you find out the news?
Yeah, I was training at the time. The French Open was starting the next day or not, but we were there and it was actually a journalist, Stuart Fraser, who came over and was like, "Do you see the score?" And he was a Rangers fan, so I just assumed that Hibs had guffed it again. And of course, they'd won. David Gray had scored in the last minute, so I was pretty fired up for that. Yeah,
I'm going to bring you crashing right back down to earth, and maybe you can hold the answers that no one seems to know what on earth is happening with your team at the moment.
Yeah, I don't know. It's been pretty ugly view, and they didn't really finish the season particularly well, and then obviously not started this one too well. But yeah, I mean, hopefully things pick up.
You're used to following it whilst you've got tennis on your mind, so this weekend you've got the Murray Trophy, you've got an Edinburgh Derby as well. How's that balance gonna
look? Might be the first game where both managers might lose their job. I mean, I've never been to Hibs Hearts game, only one time in the cup, but yeah, I mean, hopefully I'm still in the Murray Trophy at that stage and still competing, but if not, yeah, I'll try to watch from behind the sofa or something.
I'm clearly a complete professional doing my research today, reading some stuff about you and Andy and your love of football, and one from Andy that says he always cried when Hibs scored when he was young. Was that just the emotion all become too much from, or was it so rare that he was caught off guard?
Yeah. I remember going to Hibs game and we're sat in the family enclosure and we turned up, we were maybe late and they're 1-0 down and then another goal against 2-0. It was probably Airdrie again. And I just remember we were like 20 minutes in, he was lying across like three seats telling my dad, "When can we go home?"
We've all been there, to be fair, Roger, Hannah. All been there. When you're young and it's just not going your way, you just want to go up the road.
Exactly.
Good stuff. Listen, Jamie, just to get back onto the tournament this weekend, tell us a bit about the format. You know, who's going to be involved? What is the the hope for this, the Murray Trophy? Is it about growth and trying to build this thing going forward?
Yeah, I mean, it's our first year, so kind of baby steps, I think. Try to make an annual event and grow it into something really cool, something really special. Try to get as big a tournament as we can. You know, this year, you know, it's a challenger level event. We get a lot of guys ranked from sort of 100 to 350 in the world. Some younger guys who are obviously using the challenger tour as a stepping stone to try to get onto the main tour. So we've got a good field. There's a few good players in there. Quite a few British guys in action as well. Young guy Aidan McHugh from Glasgow. He's playing tonight actually. So hopefully he can get a win. It's a good opportunity for him to kind of compete in an event at home. So.
And you build Jamie at the start as a newly crowned US Open champion. Better than that, you've emerged as a champion of Scottish tennis in the last few years. I saw your comments to the LTA yesterday, just reminding them very politely, Scotland's a country, not a county, I think was your quote. Is it important to you and Andy that when you retire, you leave a legacy for Scottish tennis? Not just the Murray Trophy at Scotstoun that, you know, senior players can come and compete, but there's more grassroots tennis for kids in this country.
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. I think for us, like, you know, Scotland has no history of tennis, you know, and I think, you know, what we've been able to do to two boys from Dunblane to achieve what we have is pretty remarkable, I guess, given kind of the obstacles that were, I guess, in our path in order to do it. And I think when we finish playing, it'd be nice to kind of see that, you know, that has made a difference and we've got more people into the game, that there's a lot of more opportunities for kids to get involved in the sport if they want to. And yeah, I mean, that's what we're working towards.
Jamie, I'll be honest, I thought you were going to be bored stiff listening to us idiots talk about football and I thought he'll be wanting to run out the door. That has absolutely flown in. It's already time for the news. In fact, we're late for the news. So thank you very much for joining us.
Thanks
for sharing your stories and we wish you well at Scotstoun over the weekend.
So much.
And I have to say, Gordon, he's created a wee bit of history. As you know, Daz and I have done this show for nearly 10 years together. We've had all manner of football celebrities in this show. Mrs. Hannah hasn't batted an eyelid. You know, she phoned just before the show tonight to say, "I've just heard Clyde Jamie Murray's coming on with you."
You and Gordon can get a picture with him on the way out. It's time for us to play this, though.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
The fun doesn't stop there because we have an outstanding prize for you to win if you take part in tonight's Beat the Pundit. You don't even need to get any questions right. You can come on and stink the place out and you will still win the following prize. 4 tickets to the Murray Trophy at Glasgow over the weekend. It's for semi-finals day on Saturday. 4 Babolat rackets, a racket bag, 4 tubes of tennis balls, towels, selection of grips and key rings. You and the full family are going to be kitted out. You could be creating the next Murray, the next Jamie or Andy Murray. That's the hope. So if you want to win that prize, all you have to do is take part and beat the pundit. 01419511025. The lines close when the news starts at 7.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard with Thompson's Road Accident Solicitors. The compensation you deserve when you've been sidelined. Talk to Thompson's.com.
Roger Hanna and Gordon DL are still here. Unfortunately, Jamie Murray's not. He's away back to promote the Murray Trophy. Gordon Diallo still besides himself with excitement that Jamie Murray, 7-time Grand Slam winner, yeah, used to collect your Panini sticker. I bet it was one of those, Roger, that he was always desperate to swap in the playground. Get rid of that. Get rid of the DL. Yeah,
have you got a DL? Have you got a DL? I bet he was running.
Those were the days when the Panini stickers were still in black and white.
Oh, that's brilliant.
You're delighted, aren't you?
Yeah, well, I didn't hear him collecting any used to. Was it? Sorry, boys.
Okay, time for this.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
Time for Beat the Pundit. Roger minus one. Hannah is here. Gordon DL is here as well. And one of them is going to be taking on Stephen from Netherlea. How are you, Stephen? Are you well, Stephen?
Yeah, not bad.
Good man. Now, Stephen, you're already a winner. As I advertised before the news, just for getting on, you are the winner of the following tennis package. And by the way, if I do say so myself, what a prize this is. 4 tickets to the Murray Trophy in Glasgow on Saturday for the semi-finals. You've got 4 Babolat tennis rackets, a bag to keep them in, 4 tubes of tennis balls, towels, grips, key rings, the full shooting match. You, your pals, your family are now kitted out. If you don't win a Grand Slam in the next 10 years, you should hang your heads in shame.
Fantastic, brilliant.
Happy with that?
Yeah, just brilliant, thanks.
Good man. We'll see if we can add a signed ball to the mix as well. Heads, it's Roger minus one, Hannah. And tails, it is Gordon DL. And it's tails, it's Gordon Panini of Panini sticker album fame.
You've never played?
Well, I mean, but you say that as if there's something untoward. Is that a heads or a tails, Roger?
It's a tails.
Man again.
There we go. Right, I'm going to give Gordon some Clyde 2, and that way he can't hear what you're saying, Stephen, because believe me, if he could cheat, he would. But he can't hear us now, so we'll get your 30 second ready. You're up against Gordon head to head. The secret, Stephen, is you can pass. So if you're going to pass, do it quickly and move on, okay?
Cool.
Good man. Your time starts now. Which player won the Premiership Player of the Month for August?
Edward.
Scott Tanzer and Wallace Duffy play for which Scottish Premiership team?
Wellington.
Name any team to feature in the Scottish Women's Cup semi-finals.
Oh, Glasgow City.
Where did Hearts sign Stephen Naismith from?
Norwich.
Who was the Rangers captain in the 09 Scottish Cup final against Falkirk?
McGregor.
Who was the last Scottish team Christian Daly played for in his career?
Hearts.
Okay, let's bring Gordon back. Gordon, can you hear us?
Yeah.
You can. Same set of questions to you. You ready?
Yep.
Okay, let's do it. Now, which player won the Premiership Player of the Month for
Edward.
August? Scott Tanzer and Wallace Duffy play for which Premiership team?
Ross County.
Name any of the teams to feature in the Scottish Women's Cup semi-final.
Motherwell.
Where did Hearts sign Stephen Naismith from?
Norwich.
Who was the Rangers captain in the 2009 Scottish Cup final against Falkirk?
Barry Fergus.
Who was the last Scottish team that Christian Daly played for in his career?
Dundee United.
And who managed Dundee United between 2009 and 2013? Quickly. Quick. Too late.
Pass.
Okay. Stephen, what do you think?
Fancy your chances? He got me. No, I think he's got
me. Think so? All right, yeah. Let's find out which player won Premiership Player of the Month. We've been talking about it tonight. It was Oddson Edward. I think, Roger, I'm right in saying, although it was August, the Old Firm game was included in the voting criteria.
I'm not sure.
I think it was. Because if you think about it, the Saturday would have been the 31st of August, yeah? And the Sunday was the 1st of September. So I'm pretty sure they lumped it all in together. Anyway, it doesn't really matter. That's just a boring side point. Scott Tanzer and Wallace Duffy play for
St Johnson.
St Johnson.
Oh!
None of you got it, so it's one all. Name any team to feature in the Scottish Women's Cup semi-finals. You had the choice of Glasgow City. Well done, Stephen. Rangers.
Hibs. Motherwell.
And Motherwell.
It's
well
a tough
done.
Draw. Gordon was just discussing it before we come on air. You know, Motherwell, his beloved Motherwell, have drawn the holders, Hibs. So it's a tough draw in the semi final, we say.
Yes, yeah, yeah. You both got it right, though, so it's 2-2. Where did Rangers sign Stephen Naismith from? It's Norwich. You both got it. 3-3. You can see where this is going, can't you?
Yeah. Get ready.
Who was the Rangers captain in the 2009 Scottish Cup final against Falkirk?
David Weir.
It was David Weir.
Ah,
so we're still level. Who was the last Scottish team that Christian Daly played for?
Rangers.
It was Rangers. None of you got it. Gordon, which means if you had got the last one.
What was it? Dundee United manager?
Yes, from 2009 to 2013.
It's too far back for me. Give us initials.
Did Stephen get it?
He did
no,
not.
No idea.
Oh, Peter Houston.
It was Peter Houston. Oh,
no. Won the Scottish Cup in 2010.
That's right. Sorry, Peter. There we go.
I'm afraid we're on to a tiebreaker. No. Gordon DL has got a miserable record in the tiebreaker. Stephen.
Not as good as Jamie Murray's record in the tiebreaker.
Oh, very good. Yes, very good. I'm going to ask the question, Stephen. I will get Gordon DL to write his answer down. I'll then invite you to give me your attempt, okay?
Cool.
Good man. So the question is this: Hearts are bottom of the table at the moment.
Yeah.
What's their goal difference? They are bottom of the table, Hearts. They are struggling. What is their goal difference, though? Gordon DL, hold up your piece of paper. Okay, Stephen, what's your attempt?
-12.
Okay, Stephen goes -12. Gordon goes -4. The answer, and believe me when I say this, Stephen, it pains me to say it, it's -4, and Gordon DL has got it right on the nose. If anyone
well done,
was if any of the pundits were going to get it on the nose, well, it would be Gordon DL, but he's done it.
Stephen, you have taken me all the way. Unlucky, mate.
Well played.
Stephen, you've got the last laugh anyway. You've got the four tennis rackets, you've got the four tickets to the Murray Trophy, you've got the bag, the balls, the towels, all the rest of it. So when you win the US Open, or your son or daughter does, you can tell them that Gordon DL once appeared in a Panini sticker.
It'll certainly not be me. But that's brilliant. Cheers, Gordon.
Good man, that was Stephen. Hopefully you enjoy the tennis at the weekend. So just listen, one last thanks to Jamie for coming in. Murray Trophy this weekend, hopefully it's a success. It's a tournament in association with LTA Scotland and Glasgow Life. The tickets are still available, so if you didn't win them and beat the pundit like Stephen, tickets are still available. You can go along and watch that at the weekend. You are delighted. Yeah. Look at the look in his face. Jamie Murray recognised him from the Panini sticker book, and he wins a tie break on beat the pundit.
Life doesn't get any better. No, bath night tomorrow night is everything I look forward to.
Roger, is it just me? Do you find it a bit uncomfortable when he speaks about bath night? I don't know what it is. It's the image or something. It just makes me uneasy.
Yeah, you need to try and get that image out your head.
It's on a Wednesday. I struggle to focus on the show because I know that he's listening.
Although it would be worse if he was queuing behind Jamie Murray and Bruno Suarez for a shower.
About that, that was one of the.
Oh, I know.
I like it how he started off by saying, "Nah, I don't really have any superstitions, but." And then he goes on to that. So.
That's the greatest revelation since Stephen O'Donnell confessed to his home baking habit.
Yeah, that question always throws up some crackers, I must say. Right, 0141 951 1025 on the phones, on Twitter. We are at Clyde SSB. So let's get straight back stuck into the phone calls. You can tweet us as well. We'll get back to looking ahead to this week's football action. Let's hear a bit from another man who will know exactly what lies in wait for Celtic, because they're up against Rennes, of course. French defender Christopher Julien has been looking ahead to that one.
I was not so happy to see the French to come back there, but it's okay, you know. Rennes is a good team. And I'm sure that we will go there for compete, you know. They had a good year last year. They have a good team. I see that they had some new player with them. They have really, really good young player. They are known for that in all the world. And I can't wait. I can't wait to start, for sure. But, you know, we have to be ready for that game, because I think it's going to give the tone of our European way. So we're going to be ready for sure.
Will this set the tone for Celtic's European campaign? Christopher Julien thinks so. Either of you want to answer that?
Sorry, I thought you were going to play some audio there. No. Christopher Julien does think so. I mean, he said they're in it to win it. Bolibol and Goli spoke at the weekend that they could get to the last four. I think Celtic believe they can get further this season than they have in recent seasons in Europa League. A tough draw in the last 32 when they get Zenit last season. You see Zenit, really a Champions League side. I think they're drawing away at Lyon tonight, so they've shown their quality in the past. It's a reasonably new look Celtic side, a lot of changes, particularly at the back over the summer. So they're untested at this level of European football. But as we said with Rangers earlier on, they're in a group that you wouldn't fear. I know Cluj came and won 4-3 at Celtic Park in the Champions League qualifiers. That was just a bizarre game. I wouldn't say Cluj are any better or any worse than Celtic. No reason to believe Rennes are any better or any worse than Celtic either. Lazio will come with a big reputation. But a bit like Feyenoord, like we discussed earlier, I don't think they're the team they once were. So Celtic, a bit like Rangers, can go into this group with genuine ambitions of getting beyond the group into the last 32.
I think when you get away from home in these competitions, Gordon, pick up a point at least. You know, the most important thing is your home games. If you can get your 3 points at home and then pick up an odd point on the road, then I think you're in with a great show. I think it's very hard to sit here because I've not seen a lot of French football. I've got to be honest in that. But Celtic will have done their homework. They'll know what they're getting into. They'll know the strength, weaknesses. And Celtic have got players that can hurt teams, especially in the counter-attack.
I mean, Roger, it was only a few weeks ago that French football, European football, world football observers were raving about Eduardo Camavinga, the 16-year-old midfielder for Rennes. At 16, he was running the show against PSG. So that's the level of opposition. I'm not saying they're all going to be like that, but that's a sign of some of the strengths that Rennes have.
Yeah, they're a decent team. They could be without Mbaye Niang, who is possibly their greatest goal threat. People remember him from a spell at Watford. They had a spell at AC Milan as well. A bit like Feyenoord, they didn't pull up many trees at the weekend. They had the Brittany derby against Brest. It was a 0-0 draw. They're doing fine in the league without really terrorising anyone. So Celtic went there when they played them in the old UEFA Cup a few years ago. I think it was a 1-1 draw over there in a group section.
Was that the Chadu Rion goal?
I think it might have been the Chadu Rion
goal.
Somebody
just passes it right past.
Yeah.
The goalkeeper into the back
Celtic,
of the net.
Celtic, I think, won 3-1 in the game at Parkhead. Gary Hooper, I think, got a winner that night. Neil Lennon's first spell in charge. So I would think Celtic could look at the games against Rennes in the section without being too concerned. Same goes for Cluj. Celtic know all about them from those Champions League qualifiers. And as we see, you know, people would see a Serie A team, oh, it's Lazio, they're bound to be superb. I think Celtic will be able to compete with Lazio, so there's no reason that Celtic can't get through this section.
John is a Celtic fan on the line. Are you confident for Thursday night, John, or perhaps fearing the worst?
I don't know. I disagree a bit with Roger there. Ren, I've seen a bit of them and they look a good team. I think they've spent a few pounds, Roger, as well. But I don't fear the other two teams, to be truthful. As you say, Lazio have a big reputation, but not anything to be feared now. And Cluj, as Roger said, that was a bizarre game. I was one of these again, probably. I was saying that it's Celtic that they defend, I mean, it will be. But I don't fear it. I think we can qualify for the group, no bother. I think we could either win it or definitely get second behind Rennes. I fancy Rennes to win the group.
Does that mean, John, you think the defence is going to be an important part of what Celtic do on Thursday? We just heard there from Christopher Julian. He's the £7 million man. He's the man who presumably, with a price tag like that, was brought in for these occasions. He's going back to France to play against a team he knows well. Ballingolli now seems to have settled. How important is that side of it going to be if you think you're up against the potential group winners on their home patch?
As I say, obviously against Rangers then, obviously at the weekend, but they weren't tested maybe as much with Hamilton, or we weren't tested with Rangers either, to be quite honest with you. But they seem to settle down a wee bit, and I think the big boy, Rick Julian, is going to be a leader, know what I mean? I think he looks the part, know what I mean? So he does. But as I say, I'm quite quietly confident we'll get through the group. We'll either win it or be second, know what I mean? But I say Rennes are a good team, what I've seen, and I know they've spent a few pounds, Roger, know what I mean?
Well, will this be the real test, but a big test then, Gordon, because The new look back four, if you like, and it's been chopping and changing, hasn't it? And Simunovic is now gone for a knee operation. Yeah. In fact, Julian took the bang to the head, as well as they did against Rangers. These are the types of occasions where you imagine they'll be tested. The Celtic defence, and again, I appreciate it's different personnel, but the Cluj game, as Roger mentioned, wasn't good on that front. So will that be a priority for Celtic?
Yeah, well, especially away from home, your defence has got to be strong alongside your goalkeeper. They'll have protection with Brown and McGregor sitting in front of that. The question marks were asked when they went to Ibrox, Gordon, because a lot of people tipped Rangers, and we've got to be honest here, because of the back four that was available to Celtic, and they stood up to that challenge and played very well on the day. And I think that's a bit of confidence that went along with that. And you say Ballingolli at left back looks like he's settled down a little bit. Big money signing Julian looks a decent centre half now. But this will be a big test. But if they can stand up to that test, my point is, away from home, Rennes will probably be in the front foot. They'll try and take the game to Celtic. I think with the pace and the movement the Celtic have got, they've got players that can hurt Rennes, and I think they can score over
them. And one that's gone under the radar so far, I've been really impressed with El Hamed since he's come
in. I think he's been different class, Roger.
There's a kind of no-nonsense part to him. He doesn't say, I know he's you know, he's not 19, he is an experienced player, he's got a lot of European experience, he's played for his country. Nothing really seems to faze him. You know, whatever the occasion, he just seems to sort of cruise through the game. And now he's got over a couple of wee knocks that he got earlier in the season. He's the one who actually hasn't had the headlines, but I think he might be one of the ones that Neil Lennon's been most content with.
John, just finally, your thoughts on Odson Edouard, player of the month? That's what we started the show with, and this rumoured interest from Napoli as well.
Aye, well, as I say, Roger, I'm not having a go at you here, Roger, but it seems to be that the Scottish press are like every Celtic player, or the top boys, would you call it, they're wanting, is there an agenda to sell them? It's to me as if they're, as I say, the other paper, Roger, obviously not the Sun, right? The other paper, I don't even call the name now because I would never buy it. As to me, I've said to Gordon a couple of weeks ago after the Rangers game, the Daily Record, as I mentioned now, won Celtic the game. 13 out of 14 guys tipped Rangers to beat us that day, you know what I mean? And I don't know where they were coming from. Oh, as you've touched on, defence was a bit dodgy, but it was just totally disrespectful to Celtic, so they were. And I think Neil Lennon just had to show them that day, and that was a team talk done for the day. No?
Clear this up for me, John, because I'm always fascinated with this. Roger sort of touched on it earlier on. If these stories that the likes of one linking Odson Edouard with Napoli, if these are anti-Celtic stories, in what way is trying to get Celtic £30 million anti-Celtic? I don't really get that.
It seems to be earlier on in the season, right, we all knew Kieran was going to go right at one point, right?
Right.
But then they were trying to sell McGregor, the press were trying to sell. It's nearly every player, and Ncham, don't be wrong, I mean, Ncham isn't maybe doing it at the time, but he's come on a wee bit, right? And I actually would play Ncham, talk to something else. I would play Ncham on Thursday night against, what you call it, Ben Solid.
So would I, John.
Who would you leave out, Roger?
That's the kind of
wide player, like. Well, Micah Johnson's
from
not
the team
at
the weekend, I wouldn't play El Yunusi. I'd play Ncham.
Yeah,
I think it's the type of game. Knowing what Ncham's like, Ncham is the type of player who can raise himself to another level when he wants to. And I think going away to back into his homeland against a team of Rennes quality, I think it's tailor made for a player like Ncham.
It wasn't your paper that ran the story. It was Stephen McGowan's paper, and he'll be here tomorrow night, so you can ask him all about this story. But Roger Hallick, I mean, come on, defend your industry. Are you trying to sell on Celtic players?
No, and not unless I can get a cut of it. Gordon might be nice, but no. Listen, as I said to one of the callers earlier on, I don't think it's a bad thing that players, not just at Celtic, players at any club are being linked with £30 million transfers. It shows the player is doing well, therefore the team is doing well, therefore there's an element of success attached to them. Just because they're linked doesn't mean Celtic need to sell out St Edouard to Napoli tomorrow. It's just not, listen, as we said earlier, the Napolis, the Dortmunds, the Monacos, probably the Leicester Cities will be watching Odds and Edward, because he's doing very well, not just for Celtic but for his national under 21 team.
John, thank you very much for the call. Rangers fans, something we've not really had the chance to discuss because of the timing over the weekend, is the departure of Mark Allen. What did you make of his time at the club? Was it good? Was it bad? Was it somewhere in the middle? And where do Rangers go from here? Do you want to see that structure kept in place? Do you want a new director of football? Would you like to do away with the role? 01419511025. Tell us right now and we'll get a full-time teaser next as well.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard with Thompson's Personal Injury Solicitors. They play to win every time. Talk to Thompson's.com.
Gordon DL and Roger Hanna are here. Rangers fans, we're looking for your thoughts on the spell that Mark Allen had at the club. He's now gone. It was late Friday night. We had a lot going on over the weekend. We've not had the proper chance to deal with it and get your reaction to it. So let's do that now. How do you rate his time at the club? Was it good? Was it bad? Was it somewhere in the middle? And what about the future? Do Rangers stick with the director of football role? Should you get someone else in, or should you change the structure? You tell us right now. 01419511025 or Twitter at ClydeSSB. Tonight's full time teaser, though, sent in to fulltime@clyde1.com, is this. John sent it in. He says, since 1997, 97. 10 players have scored for a club that's been in the Champions League final and have also scored in Scotland's top flight for a non-Old Firm team.
Oh, easy.
So 10 players have scored for a club that has been in the Champions League final and have scored in Scotland's top flight for a non-Old Firm team. This all has to have happened since 97. Does that make sense?
Oh,
all
so
of it. Every clue in there must have happened since 97. Please note, the players may still have played for one of the Old Firm.
They haven't scored in the Champions League final.
No, not
they've
necessarily.
For a club that's been in the Champions League final.
I'll get us off and running, Roger.
Go for it.
Andy Robertson.
Yes. Shows you're working.
Go on, Roger, get the other nine.
It's pretty easy. Shows you're working for that one. Explain it.
Liverpool, Dundee United.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, this could be a yes or a no. He did play
that tends to be the way they work.
He played for Motherwell and St Mirren.
No. So did he score in Scotland's top flight for an Arnold Firm team since 97? He wouldn't have.
Oh, 97.
I'm with you.
Okay, now. It's usually Gordon that doesn't get the question, by the way. Just, I don't know why you've taken a turn at misunderstanding it tonight.
He doesn't have to play in the Champions League final. He's played with a club that plays in the Champions
League
final.
You tell him, Gordon. You tell him. He never listens.
10 scored for clubs.
Oh! Jody Morris? Chelsea, St Johnston?
No.
Ah, oh, no way.
It seems to me like a great guess. I can only assume I don't know where he falls down, but no.
He's a Chelsea assistant manager.
Yeah,
he's
there. He is on the list. He is. Oh, you're right. Have you two swapped brains or something? No offence.
Well, if that's the case, then Michael Dubery.
No. Yeah. No. I can't believe you just got Jody Morris and Roger Hannes sitting there scratching his head.
I'm still trying to work out the question. So there's 10 players that have scored for a club that's been in the Champions League final since 97. And they've scored in Scotland's top flight for a non-Old Firm team.
Yeah.
Since 97.
Since 97.
So like Jody Morris and like Andy Robertson.
Right.
Like the two I've already got.
You can play along with us on Twitter at Clyde SSB. I did say, Rangers fans, we were looking for your take, your assessment of Mark Allen's job at the club. How do you think he did? Where do Rangers go from here? Stephen Gerrard says he is sad to see Mark Allen leave, but he respects his decision to move on for family reasons. The Rangers boss isn't sure what the club are going to do in terms of a replacement, but says he will be part of the selection process.
It doesn't change things for me in terms of my role and the day-to-day stuff. Of course, there's a void there at the moment. Mark's been brilliant for me. He's gave me incredible support. He sold the job to me. Not that it needed selling, but Mark was the one who come and got me. So I appreciate the opportunity from him. But I totally respect and understand his decision. He's lived away from his family for 2 years and he was brought in at a time at this club when it needed shaking up. And Mark was the person and the character to shake it up and get it to where it is now. I would have wanted them to stay around a bit longer, of course. But, you know, everyone has the time and Mark's decided that he wants to go back towards his family. I respect that. In terms of whether the club put a similar type person in that role and how long that'll take, they're questions you'll probably have to ask the board. Will I be involved in the process? Probably. I'm not in any rush. I think the club needs to decide whether they want a technical director in and if the right person's out there or if they can find the right person. I think that's the main thing. There's no point filling it with just someone, because I'm sure there'll be a queue for it. I think it has to be the right person, and a person who complements everything that's and all the hard work that Mark's done, because when he's walked in the door to where it is now, he's done a hell of a job. Fair play to him.
Hell of a job, says Stephen Gerrard. But Rangers fans, do you agree? How do you think Mark Allen fared at the club, and where do you go from here? 0141 951 1025. Roger Hanna.
I'm still thinking of the teaser.
Forget the
where
teaser.
The Rangers go from here under Mark Allen.
How do you assess his role at the club or his spell at the club?
I'm quite sure there'll be people at the club who have forgotten already that he's been there. I don't think he did a sensational job. I think he probably did an okay job. He's left with a Rangers wage bill that is probably too high for the liking of the directors, I have to say. But if Stephen Gerrard was content with his work, then that's probably a better witness to his work than I am. Where Rangers need to go now is, before they appoint anyone, they need to decide what type of person they want. Do they want a head of recruitment whose main task is simply to bring people in? Do they want a director of football to oversee the entire football department? Or are they happy having Stephen Gerrard, the manager, overseeing the entire football department? So they need to decide what type of individual they want before they then go and try and headhunt that individual. I would think one of the most important relationships at a club, as we said in the show on Saturday, is between the manager and that person, whatever title you give to that person. So I would think it's very important that Stephen Gerrard is involved in every step of this recruitment process.
And whether you thought Mark Allen did a good job or a bad job, Gordon, or somewhere in between, listening to Stephen Gerrard, he clearly liked him. He clearly got on with him. And he says that Mark Allen played a major role in him coming to the club. So if, and I certainly can't speak in behalf of all the callers, but most of the Rangers fans like Stephen Gerrard. They like the fact that he's at the club, and therefore a level of gratitude has to go towards Mark Allen if you listen to what Stephen Gerrard just said.
Yeah, you can recognise just with the interview there, Gordon, that obviously Stephen Gerrard got on with Mark Allen, and that's so important. Roger's right. If it's going to be another director of football, then Stephen Gerrard's got to play a big part in it, because he's got to have that same relationship. He liked him because of probably a couple of things. He brought him to Rangers, he brought him to the club, gave him his opportunity, and obviously backed him. Because if you look since the Rangers managers come in, maybe I'm wrong here, but I think it's over 30 players he signed, which is some backing, you've got to say. So I think the two of them had a terrific relationship. I think the Rangers managers will be sad to see him go, but it's so important for Rangers. If they're going to bring someone in just to fill that role, they have got to get it right. They've got to be a bond there with the manager as well.
If you base it purely on recruitment, Roger, you would always have a fairly tough task on your hands in judging whether a director of football was good, because every club now, they have such a turnover of players. You get a lot of success, you get a lot of failures. How would you, could you draw a conclusion as to whether the recruitment has been good or bad? Is that too simplistic?
It's too simplistic because you don't know who has the final say in a lot of these. Surely the manager, Steven Gerrard,
if we just assume that he's played a part, though, just for the purposes of the argument,
then it's difficult to say. People will throw up Kellen Lafferty, who's going back out the club, Graham Dorrance, who's going back out the club, Eros Gresda, who they're desperately trying to get out the club. But there have been some successes coming in, and you know, in the last year or two as well. So it would be difficult just to completely dismiss all of Mark Allen's work. But I think if Mark Allen was really rated by the board, Mark Allen would still be in his job today.
So does that not sort of contradict the official party line that he's walked away from for family reasons then?
Yeah.
Are you willing to disclose why?
No, listen, family reasons is a great catch-all phrase, isn't it? I think if everyone at Rangers had been wholly 100% content with Mark Allen's work, then they would have found a way to keep Mark Allen at the club.
Okay. Jeff's a Rangers fan on the line. Jeff, does this sort of thing come across your radar? I know some fans focus more on what's happening on the field on a Saturday. Do you have any thoughts about Mark Allen and the sort of structure that Rangers have and should follow from now on?
Well, I think we've had this discussion on the programme before about directors of football. I mean, sometimes it can work and sometimes it can't. I think Mark Allen has done a good job by signing some good players. On the other hand, he's signed not so good players.
Would you like to see him replaced, though, like for like?
I can't really answer that, if I'm being honest. I think Rangers have coped without a director of football before, and I don't see why they can't do it again. But if it's going to help the club in the long run, I would say yes, let's look for a director of football that knows what he's doing. Not that I'm saying Mark Allen didn't. Maybe an ex-player that's played at Rangers knows the club, maybe. Coming in to do the job. I don't know what the...
Gordon, how important do you think it is that structure is maintained? We have had this debate before, Jeffrey's right, in a general sense, because maybe we're a bit sceptical of that type of thing here. It's far more commonplace in the continent, but generally now most big clubs operate with some sort of structure that maintains that continuity, so that if your manager moves on or your coaching team move on, you still have that guy who's put all the other framework in place.
Well, it's important for a club the size of Rangers, and especially the amount of players that come in and out since the Rangers managers arrived. You need someone, because the manager can't do every single job, but it's got to be someone that Steven Gerrard trusts, you know, respects the guy's opinion. It doesn't have to be an ex-Rangers player. I think we get carried away with that sometimes. You know the club and whatever. Steven Gerrard come in and the Rangers fans love him. He was never an ex-Rangers player. He was, you know, his first job in management. It's just what you do at the club. And he needs somebody to assist him. On Mark Allen, if you're asking me, was it a success? I don't think he particularly was, Gordon. If you look at 30-odd players signed.
So you're basing it on signings, though?
Yeah, because I think that's his biggest job.
Okay.
I think his biggest job is the first team. I think his biggest job is to go and recruit and bring in players and say to the manager, because the manager can't go and watch all these players, can't do all the homework on them. He's got so much to do himself. So on that basis, and plus the fact, I also think a job for the director of football is to take the pressure away from the manager by getting players out. And I don't think he's been successful at that. He's not got enough players off the wage bill for me. Surely, if they've played with Rangers, there's teams out there would take these players.
Who do you mean?
Well, you look at, you know, you've got guys in there like Gresda and people like that. Yes, he got Dorns out he got off the wage packet. But he's got other players there that you probably go around the Rangers squad, Gordon. They've got a massive squad and they must have a massive wage bill. And I think that it's your duty to say, right, I'm going to back the manager, but to do that, I need to free up money to balance the books as well.
Jeff, just quickly before we let you go, your thoughts on the European games this week?
I think the home games are going to be the ones that we need to win, both Rangers and Celtic. I think for the likes of Lazio and the Porto are going to be the ones that are going to win it. So it'll be up to Rangers and Celtic to be the other three teams. And let's hope that we can do well. I mean, last season, I thought we played very well in the group stages. So let's just continue and just play to our capabilities.
Great stuff. Thank you very much. 01419511025. We'll speak again soon. You have a good evening and see if you can get any more in the teaser as well. We're looking for 10 players who've scored for a club that's been a Champions League finalist and have scored in Scotland's top flight for a non-Old Firm team, all since 1997. They may still have played for the Old Firm, by the way. You've got Andy Robertson, Jody Morris, sorry.
What about Ravinelli?
No. So my guess would be him? Maybe he didn't score for Juventus after that time.
What about his pal at Dundee, Craig Burnley?
Ravioli?
No.
I'm thinking more of the English teams.
What were your pal, John Spencer?
No.
No?
You've got Jody Morris and Andy Robertson.
Massimo Donati?
No.
Brian McClair?
No. There is one in the league at the moment.
Slavka Hibs?
No. I've got it. James Wilson, Aberdeen, Manchester United.
It's outstanding. I'm admiring your work. I don't know what's happened to Roger Hanna, but you're on fire. Jody Morris, Andy Robertson, James Wilson.
What about Jankowskis?
Yes.
Brilliant, Roger.
He scored for Porto and he scored for Hearts.
He did. So yeah, that's a good start. Jankowskis, Morris, Robertson, Wilson. We'll get the rest next.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard with Thompson's Personal Injury Solicitors, the league leader for compensation. Talk to Thompson's.com.
Gordon DL just gave me a two-word expletive just before I put the mic back on in relation to tonight's full-time teaser. He's not happy, even though he's doing quite well on it. Tonight we're looking for 10 players who've scored for a club that's been in a Champions League final since 97, and they've scored in Scotland's top flight since 97 for a non-Old Firm team. They may also have played for the Old Firm at some point. So guys like Edgaris Jankowskis, Jody Morris, Andy Robertson, James Wilson. You got any more during the break?
Yeah, we did. Liam Miller, Hibs and Manchester United.
Brilliant, well done. Did also play for Celtic, of course, yeah. Liam Miller.
What about Gary McAllister?
No.
Oh, Roger. Oh, of course, his mother will go to Burnley, right?
Yes. Not since 97. You have got a Motherwell one to still to get. You've got a Dundee one, you've got a Ross County one, you've got an Aberdeen one, sorry, and a Livingston one. The Livingston one is off the scale difficult. I would forget about that. It Try and get the rest.
Aberdeen.
The rest are doable.
Hold on. Aberdeen, Dundee United.
No, Dundee.
Dundee and Motherwell.
Ross County.
Oh no.
The key is going to be to link those clubs to guys who also played for big English clubs. The ones you've got remaining are all from big English clubs. There's only one that played on the continent. Okay. I don't like your silence.
Clue time been. Already, I think.
No.
No, you happy, Roger?
Yeah, Roger will
you're going to get one?
No, I wouldn't have thought so, but I'm giving it a go.
You'll put a late run together. Ian Downs is on. He says, I was devastated to hear of Mark Allen's departure. In order to emphasise this, the only worse news would have been Steven Gerrard leaving. He did an outstanding job, and this is a major blow for us. Not least, he brought in Steven Gerrard. There we go. Ian is a big fan of Mark Allen.
I think that's where the pats in the back will come from, the fact that he's brought in Steven Gerrard. And I think that's why Steven Gerrard gets on with him so well. It's an opportunity of a club the size of Rangers, his first job. And that's why it's so important. The next person that comes in must have the same relationship with the manager.
More tweets coming in at Clyde SSB. Anthony Innes says, I don't agree with Roger. I think Celtic have a tough group. I think Rangers group is arguably easier, despite us being in pot two. Lazio and Rennes, who are flying, will be really tough. And what about this, Roger? Can you remind us who Rennes played at the weekend?
Brest and Brittany Derby.
So Hugh Moan is on and says, Rennes draw last weekend shouldn't make Celtic more confident, since Brest are a diddy team.
Don't get that.
I do have a tumbleweed sound effect somewhere. I should probably play it out at some stage. It would be best just leaving that one there. Just skimming over the top of it.
Yeah.
Especially with Gordon Dale around.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think you're right. And you like Dad Gordon?
Nope,
no, I didn't think
no,
so.
No, I'm the teaser.
Yeah, I didn't think so.
What about, we're on the teaser. What about Man United and Aberdeen? Ben Thornley?
Nope.
What no? a shout oh. that is.
I thought the Livingston win. If the Livingston is not the English team, is it Guillermo Amor? No. Oh,
who did he play for on the continent?
Barcelona.
Well, you're along the right lines then, but it's not Barcelona.
Real Madrid.
Yes.
Who played with Real Madrid? Played with Livingston.
Lots of the. Oh.
Come on, Roger. You should know that.
Not David Fernandez. Big centre half.
It sounds a little bit.
Oscar Rubio.
No. It sounds a little bit like that martial arts you do when you put on a white suit and
karate.
Yep, it's kind of like Kent. That.
Mauro Zarate.
It's Rolando Zarate. But we'll give you it anyway. Rolando Zarate, James Wilson, Andy Robertson, Jody Morris, Liam Miller, Edgaris Jankauskas.
So the rest all played for the English teams. So you're looking at someone who's played for Man U, Chelsea, Arsenal, Liverpool, or Spurs. Yeah,
pretty much.
That should be simple, does. Four more to go.
No, for me.
Listen, we'll come back to it in a couple of minutes because we've still got some more football chat to squeeze in. I think we're probably at that stage where you do start to turn your mind to sort of team selection, strategy. What in particular the Celtic Rangers need to do to get a result? Is there anything anything you would do differently? Anything in particular you would like to see from either side? This is the last chance you'll have to get your predictions in.
Yeah, I think a good point. Well, I'm on Thursday, I'll get mine in quickly. I think a good point that Roger came out with about in Cham, away from home, bit of strength in the middle of the park. So Neil Lennon might just tweak that, I think.
At the expense of El Yunusi.
Yes, I think he'll go for a more defensive midfielder in there. And in Cham, I think every time he's come on, and especially at Ibrox, I thought he was terrific.
So is that also perhaps that, is that theory strengthened by the fact that it's not as if El Yunusi is been playing every week, flying, banging, and go. You know, he's new anyway, and he's still getting up to speed. Would that make that decision easier?
Yeah, I think so. I think you're right, Gordon. I think he's getting up to speed. I think getting away from home in the first game is very important to get something. And I think that Neil Lennon will try and make it as tight as possible and hit them with a counter-attack with Edward and obviously Forrest and Christie, and Cham can get there as well. So I would see that being a real positive move for Celtic.
What about from a Rangers perspective then? Anything in particular, anything different? Can we assume that Alfredo Morelos leads the line? Is surely not. Are we still Defoe? Going back to Jermaine Defoe every now and then? Or are there those occasions for Alfredo Morelos?
Well, the big one is obviously he'll need to replace Kent. I think Arfield will go forward. I like Arfield more forward now. I know that he's played a lot of his career in the middle of the park, but I like him in the forward position. Ojo, and obviously I think he may, with, you know, one eye on, it's not the greatest place in the world to go in Sunday, St Johnston, I think he may just go with Defoe.
Hey, Morelos Thursday, Defoe Sunday. Okay. For me, it'll all depend on whether Ryan Jack's fit for the game on Thursday night as well. Yeah, I think Arfield, without Kent, I think Arfield does his right, will step forward one. That creates a space in the midfield alongside Davis and Aribo. If it's not Jack, can Andy King come in for a game? I don't think he's going up here to warm the bench, so he'll have to play sooner or later,
right,
I would say.
We better go back to the teaser. Let's do some wrong answers. Hugh has tweeted in to say Pat Nevin. No, that's not right. The fanzine's on. Frank Sozzi. No, that's not right. You're, I think, probably a couple of years out on that one. Scott Murray says Paul Lambert. No more coming in for Frank Sozzi anymore.
What
from
about,
you two?
What about David and Go, Ross County and Liverpool?
Wonderful, well done, David.
Oh,
and Go.
Oh, brilliant,
and
Roger.
I cannot believe, because he's one of Daz's heroes in his time at Firth Park, Franny Jeffers,
well done. The Fox and the Bar.
Arsenal.
Yes,
Arsenal.
Yeah. Which means you've only got how many to go? Two. Is that right?
I think two to go. Did you say a Dundee player and an Aberdeen player?
Yes.
Could that be right?
Uh-huh.
So we've missed out. It's not Ravinelli and it's not Burley from that area.
No.
It's not Fabian Caballero, who was at Arsenal.
I'm not sure this is going to help, but it's a bit more subtle than that. It's a bit more difficult. For a start, he's not a goal scorer.
Mm-hmm.
And he's also, it was a pretty brief spell. But a good pedigree. I came up here with quite the CV.
But Aberdeen?
Dundee.
Dundee.
I think he scored on his Dundee debut down at Kilmarnock in a midweek game in 2018.
What's as recent as that?
Yeah.
You probably were covering it. Come on.
It was a midweek game, I think. He was a central defender.
I've no idea.
Spurs.
Oh, Colker. Oh, Stephen Colker.
Well Stephen done. Colker, well done. And the last one?
Aberdeen. Is that, did you see?
Yeah, do you know what? I've misled you slightly, purely because I forgot he's another bit of paper and he's not from a British team. It's a German team he scored for. Can't be many Scots that have played.
Scott Booth.
Yeah, there we go. Scott Booth. Well done. We got there in the end. Thank you very much to Gordon Dale and Roger Hannah, and of course Jamie Murray for joining us earlier on. Big thanks for all your calls and tweets. We'll be hoping for more of the same tomorrow at 6 with Stephen McGowan and Jim Duffy. Stay where you are, because Stephen Mill is up next.
One Super Scoreboard with Thompson's Personal Injury Solicitors. Compensation you deserve. When there's been foul play, talk to Thompson's.com.